I don't exactly remember when, so I didn't pay much attention, to my shame. But somewhere in my younger days, my attitude at one point in geography class was, I don't need to know this stuff, and when I'm done with it, I'll never, ever learn any of this stuff again. The Lord's like, So here I am learning again, so I know where I am in the world, and I know where the world is around me, and that's a good idea. I appreciate that, and Gary's going to leave that map up on the stage and provide us with a weekly reminder of the fact that there's always something to pray about, and we know that, and it's important that we take advantage of the time we have to pray, because prayer is something that every believer can be involved with to some degree, and there's many in this world that are not born again, not saved. And we have the privilege and the responsibility to pray that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the map reminds us every week that there are still many that don't know Christ. And we can pray that the gospel would go forward, that the Lord would use his word in a mighty way. And we can participate and we can be a part of the work that God is doing. By the way, I don't believe that it's lip service to say that. I don't believe that someday, you know, Bethel's going to stand before God and God's going to say, well, you know, you guys did what you could, but you weren't really much help around the world globally. Thank you for your faithful prayers to the people in Cuba, to the people in all the stands, to the people in Russia, to the people in China. And God uses us and he hears our prayers. And when we cry out to him on behalf of others, the Lord hears us and it pleases him. And, you know, I've said this lots of times and I believe it to be true, that the faithless, though they don't know it, are depending on us to be faithful on their behalf. They need us to be faithful. They need us to be in prayer for their salvation on their behalf. We need to remember that they don't maybe appreciate it or know that, but it's true. They need us to be faithful on their behalf. So anyway, I always appreciate that reminder as we start our day here in the house of the Lord to be mission-minded. 2 Timothy chapter 2, please, this morning. Just because we use a verse here to kind of introduce us to the new topic we've been looking at, and it's the call of a soldier. Just a bit of a topical series over the next few weeks. We're going to look at what it means to be a soldier of Christ and what it looks like to battle in the war that we're in. And the Bible has a lot to say. There's a lot of phrasing, a lot of verses, a lot of words and ideas that remind us and that instruct us about the battle that we're in, the war that we're in, the battles that we face, and how to handle ourselves, skillfully on the battlefield. Strategies. The Bible is filled with strategies. The Bible itself is like a manual. And we've all heard the phrases, you know, children don't come with a manual. Well, they kind of do. Life doesn't come with a manual. Well, it kind of does. God said, here, look, read this, it'll help you. And so, as soldiers of Christ, this is our field guide. This is our manual. We need a first aid kit. It's in here. We need some ammunition. It's in here. We need a sword. It's here. We need a shield. It's here. We need to talk to the Lord. This will help us know how to have that two-way radio out on the battlefield. How do I talk to the Lord? Lord, send the missiles over here. And so, everything within the Word of God is valuable to us as Christians. And we utilize it for many different reasons as we fight on the Lord's behalf, as we contend for the faith. So this morning, I want to continue to talk about some of these things, and specifically, I want to look at some verses of Scripture that lay down this biblical mandate that we have as Christians. This is, I think, more than just an idea that we can sort of infuse with the Bible or put onto the Bible. It's a biblical concept that we are in a war, and I don't think we have to really make that point over and over again, but I do want to make it a little further today. I want to use some scriptures to do that. So we're going to pray, and I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 20 just as we begin. Father, thank you for this morning. We look forward to the day. Something good is about to happen, not only, Lord, as we meet together in your house this morning and worship you, Father, and that in itself is a privilege. And so we stop even now to remember it's you we worship. We bow our heads, but we also bow our will. We bow our heart before you, Father, grateful for who you are, thankful for Christ, our Savior, who died for us. And God, as Christians, as your children, Lord, we're learning to honor you, to please you, to serve you, to fight for the lost and the dying. And so we just pray your blessing on the day as we both worship you and learn and are instructed. And then, Lord, we look forward to a time of encouragement this evening as we, listen to your servant and listen to your word in song and in word, Father. We just pray that all day we would just be drawn closer to you, that today would be a day of sitting at your table on the battlefield, being refreshed and revived all day. So help us, Lord, to be blessed and encouraged, but also that we'd be a blessing and an encouragement to others, Father, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 20. One of the things that soldiers do, or I should say maybe not soldiers specifically, but specifically commanders and generals and captains, is they will often give what we might call pep talks. Right? Try to rally up the soldiers before they head out into battle. And there's one of those pep talks in Deuteronomy chapter 20. There's lots of them in the Bible. You can find them in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Some of them are quite literal, as the nation of Israel, those armies are about to go into battle. Some of them are more spiritual in their nature. They're more spiritual pep talks to allow us to be prepared or to rally us as Christian troops together to fight against the principalities and the powers of darkness. But there's a lot of these kinds of rallies, these pep talks, these charges. And one of them is in Deuteronomy chapter 20. I just wanted to read it this morning. As we talk about being a soldier of Christ, we can go to the scripture and we can get that pep talk from the Lord. And here's one of those places as he speaks to his people here. God's man, it says in verse 1, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." This is going to be a bit of a theme this morning, especially the idea of not being afraid, not only in our Sunday school, but in our morning service. And that's a great reminder. Don't be afraid. And God tells us that over and over and over again. Don't be fear-filled, be faith-filled. Don't be fearful, be faithful. And God wants us to know that. And I love that. There's nothing better than knowing you don't have to be afraid, because fear can taint our experiences. Fear can misguide us, mislead us. Fear can keep us from even doing the things God wants us to do. Fear is a great enemy. And so God over and over and over again in scriptures tells us, don't be afraid. No matter what you face, giants, death itself, don't be afraid. And so here Israel is about to face their enemy. And enemies come in all shapes and sizes, by the way. Enemies could be physical. You can punch an enemy in the nose. Sometimes you shouldn't. You should be careful. I'd be advocating. They'll arrest me if I'm not careful. Inciting hatred. You know what I mean. Physical enemies are one thing, but there's also those enemies that aren't physical. Depression. Depression is an enemy. Anxiety is an enemy. Discouragement is an enemy. Pride is an enemy. Many vices and sin that we counter on a daily basis, we battle because they are enemies against us. Even Paul said that the spirit and the flesh war one against the other. They're both vying for that position. I want to be in control, says the flesh. The spirit says, no, I must be in control. And so there's a war. And enemies sometimes look different. But here's what we read here. When you see the horses and the chariots, when you see that the enemy is bigger than you, when there's more of them than you, don't be afraid. Let me ask the question just before we read a little further. Does that sound logical to you? Okay, good. Thank you for being honest. Because that's what it doesn't. Not really. I mean, as Christians with good attitudes and faith, we say, yeah, we can take them. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh, this isn't going to go well. It's not logical to say if there's more of the enemy than there is of us, we shouldn't fear. Well, wait a second. When should we fear then? Isn't that exactly the time that we should be afraid? And God is saying, no, that's exactly the point. When you have me fighting for you, you don't have to be afraid. We have this wonderful liberty to be delivered from our fears, and not just the fear of an enemy, but all kinds of fears of all kinds of enemies. And I love that. It's a liberty. God is saying, you don't have to be afraid. And when you tell someone that, It takes a while for them to believe you. It takes a while for, when somebody tells me you don't have to be afraid. I can remember, this is a silly example, just popped into my head. Little kid, somebody says, hey, take this square battery and touch it to your tongue. Now, come on, we've all done that at least once, right? Yes, yeah, we have to know. Am I going to have to know? I remember a little fear there. Oh, what's going to happen, you know? And then eventually you work up the nerve and bang, it zaps you. It's funny how fear works. We step into it. We face it. We conquer it. We overcome it. And God wants us to do that in every situation. Verse 2, it says in Deuteronomy, and it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle, now quite literally, physically in the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto a battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. How's that for a rallying speech? How's that? Yeah, that's what we need to hear. Let me read it again. The priest steps up, the man of God reminding us, pointing us to the Lord God. He steps up and he says, as you approach this day unto battle against your enemies, let not your hearts faint. Fear not and do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. Here's why. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. I mean, when you read that, we realize, well, we're good. We are good. And that's exactly the point. And it's this rallying cry. It's this truth that we can take with us as Christians in every situation or every battle that we face. It doesn't mean the battles are going to be comfortable or easy. And sometimes we get confused about that. God, you're supposed to be with me. This is hard. I was like, that's why I'm with you. Yeah, it's hard. It doesn't mean that it will be easy or comfortable. And often on the battlefield, soldiers are uncomfortable. All the creature comforts are gone. And we're not entangled with the affairs of this world because we know we're in a war. And we focus on the battle, and we praise God for the rests and the respites that we get. But we remember we're in a war. And sometimes we've got to go to the scripture and get that encouragement, get that rallying cry and encourage us. Just before we move, we're going to read some scriptures here. But before we do, does anybody have any thoughts or comments on just any of those things? I don't mean it to be, you know, veiled, but I guess in my mind the point is scripture encourages us in the battle. The Word of God is, as we said, a manual, a field guide, and we can look to it for so many things, instruction. It can be a lamp unto our feet in dark hours, but it can also be a motivator for us, a reminder for us that we can do it with God's help. He will go with us. He will fight for us. And again, it doesn't mean it will be comfortable or easy, but it means that we are in God's will. He is leading the charge. We are safe. And whatever happens, we can trust him. And I'm thankful for that. I want to look at some different verses here, and I'll have some volunteers. If you don't mind, pop your hand up. I've got several verses. What I want to do is just take a look at some probably popular verses. A lot of these we'll know, but I want to look at the biblical mandate or the biblical definitions of what it means for us as soldiers of Christ. Does the Bible support this idea that we need to be aware, that we need to be alert, that we need to be sober and vigilant? Are we in a battle? What does the Bible say about that concept? So does anybody want to read some verses for me? Just pop your hand up here. I'm going to give Isaac. And I'll give you Joshua, verse 9, chapter 1. Joshua 1:9, please. Somebody want to read Psalm 23, verse 4 and 5? All right, thank you, Nancy. Somebody want to read Psalm 34, verse 4? Okay, thank you, Catherine. Dwayne, would you read Psalm 56, verse 3? Thank you. And Larry, would you read John 14, verse 27? And let's do a couple from the New Testament here. Anybody else? Can I get somebody to read? Okay, Phil, would you read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6? And how about one more? Romans 8, verse 31, Robert. What does the Bible say? How can we learn from Scripture and recognize our position in Christ as soldiers and as being in a war, and how do we look for support, and what does that support look like? Some of these verses provide some insight to some of those questions. The first one, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Go ahead there, Isaac.
Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Yep. And that, we're just reiterating the same point I made. God is with us. We don't have to be afraid. Joshua, of course, several times in those first chapter or two, you see that. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Over and over and over again. Why would God say that over and over again?
We need
it again. Yeah, because we need it again and again. Because fear, it keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. I said, no, don't be afraid. Okay, I'm good, I'm good. Oh, I'm afraid again. Nope, don't be afraid. It keeps coming back. And over again, God needs to keep reminding us, don't be afraid. Yes, it looks frightening. Yes, this isn't easy, but I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. Be not dismayed. I will strengthen you. I am your God. All of these concepts. And so when we go to Scripture, whatever we're facing, again, there's a lot of scary things, and we'll get to that probably. I don't know if we will this morning. We will in the morning service, Lord willing, but there's a lot of things in this world that are frightening to us, are scary, are not easy to endure. And that's why God continues to remind us that it's okay. It's okay. I remember the fellow in the New Testament whose daughter died, and the servant came. You know, the woman was reaching out to Jesus. She kind of interrupts the conversation, and she's healed because she touches the hem of his garment. And then the servant runs to the man whose daughter was sick and says, your daughter just died, so don't bother the master any longer. It's too late, in other words. And Christ, who had already been addressed by this fellow, overhears this and stops immediately and says, don't be afraid, only believe. Immediately, he says, don't be afraid. Because you can imagine that man, his heart would have just filled instantly just with fear and regret and trauma, just everything all at once, just boom, oh no, it's too late. And Jesus Christ immediately says, don't be afraid. Only believe. It's okay, hold on. And this is what God would say to us over and over and over again when those moments of fear come and overtake us. And sometimes there's carnage. Sometimes there are things that happen that we also have to face. And even in those moments, God would say, I know, don't be afraid though. It's okay. I'm going to walk you through it. Remember, we're going through the valley. We're going to get to the other side. Going through it's not going to be easy, but I'm with you, and that makes the difference. And so, Psalm chapter 23, verse 4 and 5.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over.
Amen. I love the fact that, so verse 3, reminds us that the Lord is with us. Again, when we go through the valleys, that's a very frightening thing for us. Death, facing it ourselves, others facing it around us, just in general. And it's not an easy thing, but the Lord reminds us, I will go with you. I will not just send you alone, I will go with you. But then verse 5 is this interesting little truth in there that we sometimes overlook, and it's, I will prepare for you a table. A place of refreshment, a place of strengthening, a place of rest in the middle of your enemies on the battlefield. You don't have to be afraid. That's how courageous, that's how safe we are, that God would say, it's okay. Bombs are flying, the enemy's running all around, smoke is drifting, you know, and God's like, come here, eat, take a rest. And I love that picture that even in the midst of our enemies, God will prepare a table. Our cup will run over. And he provides us rest in the midst of the battlefield. I love that picture because the chaos and the confusion continues to explode around us. But the peace that passeth all understanding, we still have access to it. We can still enjoy that rest even in the midst of our enemies. Psalm 34, verse 4. Yeah. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. David, of course, said this. He was often on the run, on the battlefield, literally. Not only Saul, but, you know, wild animals, different things. And so David realized and he learned that God delivers us from all our fears. Looking back, we can say, well, there's a lot of things I've been afraid of. God has been faithful the whole time. And he's literally delivered me from all of those fears and from all those things that brought those fears to me. So that's a reminder. I can trust the Lord. The theme here later on this morning, part of it is trust in just him. Trust in just him. That's all it takes to find that strength and that confidence. We can trust in the Lord. I sought the Lord and he heard me. You know, when you're out on a battlefield, as I mentioned, I can remember watching these old movies with my grandfather, military shows, and there was always a couple of guys in black and white helmets on, you know, and they got this great big radio backpack, and then that's two-way radio, and come on, we need the reinforcements. Drop a couple of bombs over here, and they give the coordinates. And so they're on this radio, and this is their lifeline. They can talk to somebody that can bring in some help. And as Christians, Catherine just read the verse there in Psalm 34:4, we can call in to our king, to our captain for help, for reinforcements anytime, and he will deliver us. And he will deliver us from all our fears. So again, the concept of being at war, the concepts that we often, you know, think about in a worldly way, apply within Christendom. They apply within the life of a Christian soldier, just in different ways. We call out to the Lord, he brings in reinforcements. He sends help. And we don't have to be afraid. He will deliver us from all the things that bring fear into our lives. Psalm 56, verse 3. Amen. I remember teaching this verse to my children when they were, you know, trying to go to sleep at night. It can be scary in your bedroom at nighttime. And you can have weird dreams. It makes it even scarier. And you hear all those creepy noises in the old house and the plumbing and the heat and all that kind of stuff. So, you sit down by their bed and you read this verse and you just remember, hey, whenever you're afraid, what time I'm afraid, you remember, whenever fear comes, you just say, God, I'm going to trust you. You're with me. I trust in thee. Trust in just him. And be mindful of that. Be present in the fact that Christ is with us, that God is here, that he is very much a present help in the very moments we need him. It's not a catchphrase to make you feel good. It's a truth that will deliver you. And it's applying that truth and realizing it in the moments that fear comes, that God, you're here right now. Whatever happens, you've allowed, you will allow, you will guide me through this, you will have your way. And whatever that is, I'm yours, and I'm going to trust you. Help me as I try to trust you, and he will. I love that. Couple of more verses here. Did I give someone John 14, 27? Yes. Larry, would you read that one, please? Right. My peace I give to you, I leave with you. And we talked about this on our college and career get together there. It's not the peace that the world offers. It's not the kind of peace that, you know, a gun or a lot of money can provide or good health can provide. It's a peace that comes from the Lord God. It's different. The world cannot manufacture a God-like peace. Only God can provide that kind of peace. And God offers it to us as his soldiers. You know, here's real peace, a peace that I'm offering to you. I'm giving this peace to you, a peace, as Larry read, that will provide us help in times of trouble, a peace that will help us not be afraid. And it's this kind of peace that God gives to us. And I love that sense. There's a pirate movie. I hate referencing movies, but anyway, we do it, and I'm going to do it. There's a pirate movie in this one scene where the captain of the ship is walking down a set of steps on his ship. And while he's just walking down, it's kind of in slow motion, all around him, the cannonballs are splintering the boat. And all you see is wood and debris and explosions all around him. And he's just calmly walking down the steps, and there's bombs and everything's blowing up around him. But he has this calm confidence as he's making his way down these steps that are exploding all around him. I thought, there, that's how Christians can do it. That's us. And we can have this confidence that even in the midst of the storms and the battles that we face, oh, it's too late, Lord. He died four days ago. Even then, it's not too late. Not for our God. It's like, no, you're good. You're good. Trust me. And sometimes we don't always understand, but we can always trust him. And sometimes it's not comfortable, but we can always trust him. And when we trust in just him, there's a peace that delivers us. Let's move through a few more of these here. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?
So I can boldly say, I once had a friend of mine, Annette, you'll remember, Mr. John Jones, and me and him, and I think Teddy was there, and a few others were walking down Salisbury Road, and I don't know, one of us walked on someone's lawn. It's probably me. I don't know. Anyway, the fellow that came out of the house, we're young, we think we know it all, you know, 13-year-old kids, that kind of stuff, and the fellow came out of the house, you kids, stay off my lawn. Very typical. It was interesting. And so, you know, we all kind of scurried off his lawn and kept our way, but I remember John, and Annette, you would know John. John stops and he turns around and says, what are you going to do in front of me and my boys here? And we all kind of look at each other and laugh. It's like, we're not your boys. What are you talking? What, you think you're starting a gag or something? But here's the thing. He put way too much confidence in us. Because when that fella came out of the house, we were all, yes, sir, sorry, sir. And what are you going to do in front of me and my boys here? We're like, see you, John. He put way too much confidence in us. He was bold, but he trusted in the wrong set of boys. Now, here's the thing. Hebrews 13:6. So we may boldly, God is saying you can be bold when you're talking about my help. Go ahead. It's not arrogant and it's not braggadocious to speak truth. And the truth is, I will help you. And so you can speak it, you can know it with a boldness. And I love that. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, with all confidence in the face of whatever enemy we're facing, the Lord is my helper. What are you going to do in front of me and God here? What are you going to do? The Lord is my helper. Oh, in that case, I guess you're safe. Yeah, that's exactly right. And again, it doesn't mean that what we're about to go through is going to be comfortable, and sometimes we get that mixed up. You know, Paul was shipwrecked several times, sat in prison several times. He was beaten, whipped, almost to death several times. Those things occurred. He was safe the entire time, was he not? In God's will the entire time. And that's the part that we have to reconcile with. It's the uncomfortableness of it that we struggle with. But God is faithful, and his word is true, and he is with us. And he has suffered for us, so he understands that. And he can help us and deliver us. And in the end, none of us, even as martyrs of Christ, we will not regret what he allowed us to do or to suffer on his behalf. And we will recognize in the end, I was safe that whole time. I can remember jumping into a swimming pool with no understanding of how to swim, but I was encouraged to do it. And somebody said to me, it was my father, I'll be here for you, I'll be here for you. As soon as I hit the water, I thought I was drowning. Next thing I know, my father scooped me up, and you're okay. I'm thrashing and wailing around. But he was right. He did help me. He was there for me. I was still afraid, but he kept his word, and so will God. The Lord is our helper, and we don't have to be afraid. A couple of more here. What's the next verse? I gave out too many here. I don't remember. Romans 8:31. Yes. Yeah, probably one of my favorites. It's because it carries with it this flair of confidence that almost sounds arrogant, but we know it isn't because it's true. It's this, well, what shall we say then? I mean, if God be for us, who can be against us? And that's the truth of it. As soldiers of Christ, if God be for us, who can be against us? Yes, there will be shots fired. But at the end of the day, we are already on the winning side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And I love that truth, that even the devil himself, he who is in us is greater than he who is in this world. And we have the upper hand because the Lord is with us as Christians. Any other verses that I gave out here nobody got to read? I don't want to miss anybody. I've got a few others here, of course. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Philippians 4:6-7, casting our cares upon him, those sorts of things. So the point this morning was to take a look at Scripture and to identify that the Bible has a lot to say about the battles that we face, the war that we're in, the enemies that we face, and that we can trust God. He will help us. And it's good to remember all those things. Because when we can get that settled in our minds, we can realize, okay, not easy, but safe. I am God's will, my body, my life, a living sacrifice. He will do with me what he knows is best for his glory and for my blessing. I'm going to trust in just him. And so it gives us so much confidence over the enemy. Stephen had confidence as he lost his life. Confidence in Christ. Was he a loser or was he victorious? We would all say he was victorious as he looked into the throne room of God itself and saw Christ, his captain, standing there on the right hand of the Father. And he was literally losing his life. He's dying right there on the spot. They were killing him. He wasn't afraid. And so this is what I mean when it comes to, it's not going to be easy. It's not always easy. But we are always safe in God's will. And I love that truth. Anybody have any thoughts or comments on any of these things here this morning?
Remember when I commanded you? I didn't just suggest you do this, but I commanded you as you are a soldier.
That's right.
And basically, it's about, was Joshua actually trusting in God's words that he was saying to him?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're going through God's words here. You know, the question is, do we really believe what God has to say?
Yeah. It's true.
Which is also a command.
That's right.
We're commanded to study so that we can show ourselves approved.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's God commands Joshua and the armies there, don't be afraid. Don't disobey that commandment for good reason. Commands are there to keep us safe, to keep us out of trouble. Don't be afraid. And the Lord wants us to get that message. Now, we don't always. And God is very patient with us. And I sometimes break his commandments. Like the man I referenced at the beginning of our time here whose little girl died and Jesus Christ said, don't be afraid, only believe. You know what he said? He said, I believe. Help mine unbelief. He said those things at the same time. What? You believe, but you need help with your unbelief. Yeah, those things can be true at the same time. And it's, again, that's part of the battle. It's part of working. It's trust in just him. I'm going to believe. It's hard to believe. Doesn't matter. Keep doing it. And Lord will help us. If it was just the enemy, flesh and blood, it would be a lot easier. But we're dealing with other things, right?
Well,
yes, sir.
Scripture demonstrates many situations where the odds are overwhelming.
Yes.
300 guys with you. Don't worry. The whole army of Egypt.
I love that.
And we're up against the water. Don't worry. Right? Oh, they're chasing us through the water. Don't worry.
Yes.
Right? So there's lot, even at the end, Armageddon, the whole world gathers against Israel. Don't worry. So there's lots of examples.
And again, I have this term, and I don't know if it's theologically correct or not. Nobody bothers to correct me on it because they think, well, let him think whatever he wants to. We know it's going on in his head, or we don't know. But I love the phrase reckless faith because it seems irresponsible. It seems irresponsible sometimes to say, well, I'm just going to trust the Lord. Okay, well, good luck with that. Luck has nothing to do with it. And that's what we get to have. There is power from on high. Those who have a form of godliness deny that power. But we as believers, trusting in Christ, have access to a supernatural power from on high, a peace that only God can provide. We can have it. And I love reckless faith. I love saying, it's impossible to walk on water, but I'm going to ask the Lord if he'll let me. And then he did. I'm going to go ahead and show you what I can do, because you're going to conquer your enemies with just 300 men, not 30,000. 300? Are you out of your mind? That's reckless. No, I'm God. Trust me, not yourself. And so I love that as Christians, we can have this, not irresponsible, but this abandonment, a of just trusting God. I'm just going to throw myself at his feet and just, you do it, you take care of it, I'm trusting you. Wonderful, God. Which, yes, that's it. And I love that we can do that. We get to do that. We can have this liberty of just trusting God, no matter what. As the bombs are falling, you know, and everything's splintering around us, we can just, God, just like, just walk with me. We're going to go down the steps. It's okay. The lions, Lord, they're right here. Yeah, you're okay. My brothers want to kill me. Yeah, you're going to be safe in this pit. This woman is trying to tempt me. Lord, I'm weak. I'm going to put you in a safe place for a little while. You know, God is good. He knows what we need. It doesn't always appear like that to us, but we have to remember what the Bible says, the manual, the field guide. Trust in him. We're safe, and I love that. I want to read something. I don't know if you've, maybe I've read it before, but it's a little bit lengthy, maybe take me a minute or two. But it is where we want to go next. We're going to end up in I think, the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to look at the account of Jesus Christ and Satan. Because why in the world did the Lord Jesus Christ, who was led of the Spirit for 40 days, go out into the wilderness? And why in the world, when the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted of Satan, did he simply use Scripture? You know, he's the Son of God, and even Satan himself was trying to demonstrate or trying to get Christ to kind of come out of his shell and sort of demonstrate that he was the Son of God, sort of getting him to prove that. You are the Son of God, we'll prove it. And Jesus Christ could have. He could have called those legions of angels. He could have snapped his fingers and turned the devil into a popsicle stick. He could have did any number of things to demonstrate to that devil and to all of us reading these words that, oh, yeah, you're no match. But Jesus didn't do any of those things. He simply showed us what to do, which was the reason, one of the reasons why God allowed that to happen. Because Jesus Christ knew his followers would need an example when they have to confront the devil himself. And the temptations that come, which we often despise, are also opportunities to practice our swordplay, to make God look good, to become the heroes and the champions that we want to be, and that as soldiers of Christ we can be. Reward day's coming. The medals will be pinned, right? And we want to honor God. And it's not just for the reward. It's for the captain, right? So there's a story here that I'm going to read that demonstrates, in a sense, what Jesus Christ was displaying when he was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And then next week, we'll likely get into that. But let me read this, and we'll chat a little bit about it. And I'll break it down a little bit as well. So it's fighting spiritually when the enemy attacks. Because all this is well and good, but how do we apply this in a literal way? And that's kind of where we're going. How do we take the Bible and say, I need it to change my life. I need it to change my thinking. I need it to change my behavior. I need it to change my fear and to encourage my faith. That's what this is for. And that's what God wants for us, to grow and to become. All things pass away. Old things, I should say, pass away. But all things become new. And how we handle ourselves in our lives. So this story demonstrates some of the sword play that as Christians we're involved with when it comes to temptation and the devil. Let me read. Imagine a soldier, imagine a battlefield, imagine a war. The soldier stands watching and ready. He lifts his lamp that he might see where the enemy hides, and that he may aid the wounded on the battlefield. The broken remnants of the enemy's destruction lie smoldering all around him, with shield in one hand and sword in the other, adorned with the whole armor of God, the soldier watches. Suddenly he's attacked. The hateful spirit of covetousness had been creeping up on him. The soldier turns quickly, realizing the danger, and blocks the strike with expert skill. Thou shalt not covet. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Contentment with godliness is great gain. The enemy is put back on his heels. Surprised by such a forceful defense, he then lunges forward quickly with another vicious attack. Ha, you serve God, the enemy says, and have little. Your enemy does not and has much. Just then, the spirit of bitterness joins the demonic assault. The two simultaneously attack the Christian. The spirit of bitterness rushes up from behind. They hate you. They mock you. They have riches. You have nothing for your faithfulness in God. He catches himself, the soldier. And with one and a two strike, he attacks back. First, the spirit of covetousness. I know their end, how they are brought into desolation. In a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. In everything, give thanks. the soldier quotes. Then turning to the soldier, the soldier thrusts at the spirit of bitterness. Love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. At this, the soldier pauses to pray, seeking power from on high. His master, his captain, his God does not disappoint. Several more attackers emerge. The soldier of Christ is surrounded. He stands firm, defending his position as a flurry of blows are thrown at him. Fear! I have not given you the spirit of fear. Lie! Thou shalt not lie. Hate! Love your enemies. Lust! Flee youthful lusts. With every strike, the Christian blocks and counterstrikes skillfully with his sword. The enemy is weakened, but in one last desperate attempt to defeat the soldier, he calls the spirit of doubt to fire his arrow from where he's hiding. The wicked archer draws his bow and looses two fiery darts. You're a filthy sinner. You're no Christian. God doesn't love you. The first dart glances off the helmet of salvation, leaving the Christian unharmed. The Christian soldier then lifts his shield of faith, forcefully defending the second. His grace is sufficient for me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Nothing can separate me from the love of the Father. God is love. The Christian's defense was perfection. It was clear to his enemy that he practiced relentlessly with his sword and shield. He was strong and sturdy from carrying his cross daily, and the enemy could not defeat him. At this, the enemy whose attacks failed scurries away, giving the soldier a moment to rest, regain his strength, and be ready for the next season. So again, this is a story that displays the Christian's battle, as it were. What does it look like to defend ourselves from the wiles of the devil? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle, we do fight. And when it comes to the attacks of the enemy, whether it's fear or depression or doubt or anxiety, whether it's temptation to sin with lust or envy or bitterness or covetousness or hatred, there is something we can do about it. We can attack back. We can defend ourselves. And it's with the Word of God. And I love the fact that Jesus literally displayed that. He did the same thing that we just read, in a sense. He literally quoted Scripture, Deuteronomy twice in the book of Psalms. Every time, he simply quoted Scripture to the enemy, and he yielded to the truth of it. And then it says that the enemy left him for a season. He won. He showed us, the Lord showed us, how to fight a spiritual battle against the devil himself. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual. And so when we think about these things, they're more than just poetic cliches or spiritual guidelines. The practical truths that we should literally apply. Does that make sense? Literally apply. And that's why Jesus, I believe, showed us to literally apply the Word of God. Now, we have to yield to it. We have to obey it. But when we do, when we allow that to be what we yield to, well, then we can have victory. Does anybody have any thoughts or questions or comments before we close?
Even Satan left Jesus, the temptation of Jesus, for a more opportune time.
That's right.
It's not like he gave up on tempting Jesus.
Amen.
For another opportunity. And I think that we have to watch out for that.
Yeah.
We can't let our guard down.
Yeah, that's right. Same as you would if you were out in the jungle and you knew there were lions around. Just because you didn't see one wouldn't mean you ain't looking for them. Matter of fact, the fact that you don't see the lion would make me more weary. Where are they? And so likewise with the enemy. Yeah, we can't let our guard down. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we let our guards down. Yeah. Amen. Good point. Any other thoughts or comments? Really want us to be thinking about. And next week we'll take a look at some of the, again, the literal applications of how the Word of God can help us. But this morning we looked at a bunch of scriptures that started us off in regards to fear. What can I remember from the Word of God when fear comes? The fear of many different things that we face. I can remember that God is with me, that He'll never leave me, that He will strengthen me, that He will walk with me. And it's the Word of God that provides us with the strength, with the courage to face our enemies and to even have victory over them. And I love that. We can move. We can run from the enemy. We can hire a bodyguard. We can go to court. We can call the police. We can deal with the physical enemies, but there's a lot more than that. And so the Word of God helps us handle all of the enemies that we face, including the ones that we can't even see, but we still have to fight. Any other comments just as we close here today? We're out of time this morning. A call of a soldier, and we're soldiers of Christ, and there's a lot that the Bible has to say in regards to our warfare and what it looks like. And we can have success, and we get to have that reckless faith because we trust in just Him, the Lord God. He'll deliver us. Father, thank you for our time this morning in your word as we continue to think about what it means to be a soldier of Christ according to 2 Timothy, what it means to be at war, to be in a battle. Father, we know that there's many things that Scripture teaches us about the world that we live in and about our lives as Christians. This is just one aspect of it, one of the ways in which we can learn about this world and what it means to be a Christian. But Father, we pray that you would help us. And as was mentioned this morning, that we wouldn't let our guard down, that we would realize that you do tell us over and over and over again not to be afraid because you want us to know this, because we often are. And then, Father, as we explore this a little further the next week or two, Lord, we would pray that you would help us to find truth in your word that would literally give us victory over the enemies we face, whether it's some kind of a habit. How do we find the strength and the courage to break bad habits? Can we find it in the Word of God? The answer is yes. Is there a cost? Is there effort? Yes, there is. But every battle has those efforts, those costs. But ultimately, it's the victory that we are focused on, not the cost. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn these truths and that we would be stronger for it. And we thank you, God, for teaching us and for showing us these things. Bless our time together as we worship this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, church.